All right, B-Lo, we're live.
Hey, long time no chat.
Welcome to the T Podcast for Wednesday, June 19th.
Yes,
it's B-Lo and T doing their thing. B-Lo, the co-host, is on today.
We record every Sunday, except when we don't.
Except when we got shit to do. Like life. Life takes over our life. There's too much shit going on.
It's funny how that happens, you know. I heard that before, that life takes over your life.
Yeah, it does. It's insane. I think I saw it in a fortune cookie. Have you noticed anything different in the background?
I see that it looks like you hung up some photographs.
Yep.
Of, it looks like a concert. It looks like the 2013 Boston Marathon, Boston Bruins.
You get that one.
And then it looks like the Boston Bruins. I can't really see that clear because it's far away.
It's a black and white of the garden rafters, everything up top of the rafters, all the banners. And then it goes side by side, you're right, of the 2013 Boston Marathon signing on Boylston Street when the street was still closed down and everybody was signing the marathon sign. And then the side panel to that is the UFC that we had in the garden, UFC 220 that I went to. And then below that is the AFC Championship 2017 when the Patriots won. There's a little tiny Tom Brady in that. All pitches taken by yours truly, T, from the infamous T Podcast. So I finished all my canvases. Well, no, I got six more to go. 21 out of the 27 are now up in the T Palace, including, you can't see it because of the way the camera is, I'm looking at my 3x5 foot framed Tom Brady jersey. I know you don't like him, but tough shit, B-Lo. He's above my desk. I look at him. I got a small collage panel, another one of my great adventures, the Spartan race in Fenway, my T-Dog jersey in Gillette, me doing the T-Blog pose, superimposed with Tom Brady, and a great shot from my old front row end zone seats. I got the 2001 championship Boston Globe winning. I got my degree from Northeastern University posted. I got my board of ideas and my magnet board below. The office is complete. How do you think?
I can't wait to come check out the office.
Yes. Next time you come up alone without any of those fools and without Tasty Burger.
Well, I will come up. Oh, maybe I'll come up alone. Depends on who I bring. But I'm not bringing Tasty Burgers. I don't even know how I put that stuff in my body. Yes. We have to set up a stage to take the pictures soon.
I was the only one that did not put that shit in his body that day. I put a lot of other things into my body that day, but I did not put Tasty Burger into my body.
Yeah, no, that was something bad. So I think while we're at it, let me just see if I can find you on my little Snapchat Wheel of Fortune.
Yes. As you do that, once again, we have the red heart.
Yes. We're at 100. We have the red heart, and we have 166 flames. You still are. I still am your longest relationship.
You are, which means I love you more than Mary the Mutual Friend.
Yes, I know. Mary the Mutual Friend. You know, she had no comment when we talked about the snapping more than other. She says, I just don't snap. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun, dun.
It's a good answer.
Speaking of relationships, how goes the tea escapades on the dating world?
The dating world is going...
Last we spoke.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
The dating world is going relatively well. It's going. I'm finding myself happier in my personal life these days.
Good.
And learning to adjust. What?
You won't be such a miserable prick to me anymore?
That's not going to change. But in relationships in general, which we could talk about a topic for tonight, which we could pivot over to anyone's relationship. Two key factors, and I had written about this on T-Blog and mentioned it on here before. Two key factors, B-Lo, and you could tell me whether you agree or disagree. When it comes to any communication, any relationship, it comes to the two C's, one I just gave away, communication and compromise. I think you could talk about all that other stuff. You could talk about love. You could talk about admiration. You could talk about how sweet someone is. You could talk about that perfect flirt to wise ass ratio. I think you and I are both experts at that when it comes to almost anything, when we know how to be a wise ass ball buster and also flirt. But I think there's a lot of staples when it comes to any relationship. I think two of them is definitely compromise and communication. Would you agree, Bilo, that that is two important staples of a relationship?
Well, I think, I honestly think, and I think we've spoken about, I know we've spoken about this before. Communication in any relationship, whether it be an intimate relationship, personal relationship, professional relationship, I don't care, is paramount. And what I mean by communication, it is two parts of communication. It's the delivery and the receiving. You need to, one, deliver a message to where somebody can understand it. And you need to receive a message in the way that the person wants to understand it. It takes two parts to that. I honestly do believe that it's more important for the person who's doing the speaking or the delivering to be more aware of their delivery, because they have to paint it in such a manner that the person who's listening to it can receive it properly. And I actually had this conversation with somebody today about the communication. A lot of people communicate, and I said this before, they listen to respond, where sometimes communication is listening to understand. Because you and I, like I'll use you and I or use anybody, when I say you and I, it's you know, hypothetical. When you're having a discussion, a lot of people want to argue or discuss to be right. You don't always have to be right. A lot of times it has to do with perspective, meaning if you're talking in an intimate relationship and something bothers you, some people are like, well, I didn't do that. Or, hey, you do this, right? They instantly turn around and combat with, oh, well, you did this or something like that to justify it, instead of taking it back and saying, okay, I'm going to listen to your perspective, listen to your point of view. I understand your point of view. I understand why you said what you said. I understand why you did what you did, whatever it may be. And then as long as you understand, in my opinion, then it's okay. I mean, you don't have to agree. You don't have to think something's okay. You don't have to think something is right. But if you understand somebody's perspective or point of view, not saying you have to like their perspective or point of view, but you can understand why they said or did something, then you have proper communication. Compromise, I'm going to be very careful with the word compromise. I do not believe that you should have compromise in a sense in a relationship to where you have to give up something of yourself. Because if you compromise to give up something of yourself, meaning you're not doing something to make someone else happy, right? Because, okay, say I like to walk around naked every day down Main Street, okay? If the person I'm with doesn't like that, and I'm like, okay, well, they don't like it, I'm going to stop doing that. But to me, it makes me very, very happy, like who I am and fulfills who I am. Doing something for somebody else, you should do it because you want to do it, not do it to make them happy. Do it, and it sounds kind of contradictory, but do it to make them happy because you like to see them happy. Don't do it because you don't want them to be mad at you. You want them to be happy. There's a totally different aspect there where it's do something to make someone happy because it makes you happy to see them happy.
Yes.
Now say it again. And I'm trying to say another word because I didn't say it as clearly what I had meant to say. Do something. Excuse me, I don't mean to cough. To do something for somebody because the outcome of them being happy makes you happy versus do something to make somebody happy because the outcome of them not being mad makes you happy. Two totally different things. So that's where I'm saying I worry about compromise, because if you give up something of yourself, you build up resentment over time, in my opinion. Because that whole little thing is like, oh, well, this one doesn't want me to walk around. Like I said, this walk around the street naked. I can't believe this. Oh, my God. Oh, I can't do this now. And it builds up deceit, builds up lies, builds up, you know, tension and stuff like that. So that's my thoughts on compromise.
No, that's a good point. You bring up a lot of good points there. I could go off a past relationship with a girl where we weren't that serious. It was actually, I was really into her friend, and she and I inadvertently started hooking up, and she had a boyfriend. But her boyfriend traveled a lot and was always out of town. And I was in the prime years of my screenwriting. As you know, I've been doing that for a long time. And I had a script that was starting to take shape that I was really, really enjoying writing, right? And to her, we worked together too. And to her, just like, you know, you have a day job. You work all day. To her, she thought that was enough. And she never could understand, well, like, well, I'm not coming over tonight. I don't care if he's out of town. Like, we were just hooking up with each other. Or I'm not going to see you, or I'm not going over to your place after work, and I have to go write. And she was like, well, you can write anytime. Like, it's not like you're doing that for your job yet. To me, screenwriting, any type of writing, was and still is a very important part of who I am. And for me to her, one of the big things we stopped doing, one, because she was a crazy little cokehead and I didn't do drugs. But two, was that that's all she wanted to do was basically keep it on the down low because she had a boyfriend. So to me, compromise, I'm not giving up something I really enjoy for a girl that wasn't fully committed to me. So I wasn't giving up screenwriting, which I love doing. And I told her, I'm like, no, I'm going home. I'm going to write and nothing's going to happen tonight. And then maybe the next night, I don't know, when I feel like doing this again, we'll do that. But I hear what you're saying. What really hit home for me there was that second one, where I think a lot of people that I see in marriages, because I'm of that age right now where a lot of marriages, and we've talked about this before, are ending, or people are going on to another marriage or are going to a divorce. And I know people now, some of them are on their fucking second divorces. It's just how life works sometimes. But when I see that from relationships, from the outside looking in, I've noticed a lot of that. When someone thinks a compromise is, if I stop doing this, my wife will stop being mad at me. And it's like, you're not compromising. You're doing it in the face of someone you don't want to make mad every day. And at that point, I don't know what the reason is, but if your wife is already mad at you for one thing and she starts becoming mad at you at everything, there is no compromise in the world that you're going to fix something that she's going to stop being mad at you about. But that's an important part of being like a compromise. It's like, what am I compromising here? Am I compromising my routine? Am I compromising the hours I put into the office? Am I compromising skipping the gym? Because like you said, knowing that I get to see this person makes me happier than staying at the office, makes me happier than going to the gym. Then you know what? Some of those things that used to be so important to me, I'm willing to compromise because this person's happiness means more now. That's very not a compromise.
What you just stated is not a compromise. Doing something because something else makes you happier is not a compromise.
I think it is.
That's making yourself happy.
That's making you happy, but I think honestly, happiness. So being a single person, being solo, being an individual, you know the things that make you happy by yourself. You know how to live your life and be happy. When you bring somebody else into that equation and their happiness is different things, and obviously you have some things in common that you both enjoy, I think to mix that up with someone to see what they like to do or what you like to do. But it doesn't matter. When you're together, sometimes you change up the things you used to do. Because if you keep on doing everything that made you happy, you might as well just continue to be fucking by yourself. So to me, that is a compromise. That's how I look at it.
I understand what you're saying, but by giving yourself happiness, you're not compromising yourself and what you like to do.
But you're saying a compromise means someone should be less happy because it's for somebody else's happiness?
If you look at the definition of the word compromise, right? Noun. I'll read it to you because you know this is what I do.
I know that's what you do. I don't.
An agreement or a settlement of a dispute that is reached by each side making concessions. That means you have to give something up.
Yeah. Okay.
Verb. Hold on. Verb. Settle a dispute by mutual concession. It means you both give in. Two, accept standards that are lower than desirable. Okay? That's the key, right? Because that's the key to something. If the other one's saying concession means you're going to give something. The last part, the second part of the definition for the verb sums what up I was saying to you, is you are accepting something that doesn't – you're accepting something to make what I was saying before, to make someone else happy so you don't have to listen to them, you know, for lack of a better term, bitch at you. And you're giving – it's accepting a lesser standard than what you want to make yourself happy. That's all I'm trying to say. And to me, you can't – you not going to the gym to see somebody because it makes you happier to see them – is not a compromise because it makes you happy to see them. You giving up the gym so because you feel guilty about not seeing the other person and you're going to – here's the example part of it is like then you're going to see them and you're happy to see them. But in that back of your mind, you're still going, oh, shit, I wish I went to the gym. Oh, shit, I wish I went to the gym. I should have gone to the gym. That's a compromise because you're giving up something and you are – not accepting of that in the manner where it's like I'm happy and you don't even care in a sense. So that's what I say where when I say that word, like, oh, I don't believe in compromise in a relationship. That's what I mean by it because I've said that before and some people have gotten quite upset that I've said that.
Oh, I've been there too.
You have to listen to my whole definition of that to understand what I mean when I say that, sir.
Well, it's like, let's use a perfect example. Let's pivot back to our relationship, my heterosexual life mate. You and I want to get this show going. You know, I record on my own. You know, I want you on as the co-host. And again, with your life, my life, being in two different locations, we set a standard when we like to record. We try to target that Sunday. And as life has been showing us recently, it's been tough to do. But right now, I'm not compromising. You're not compromising. You kind of got in what you want to get in tonight. I kind of got in what I'm going to get in. I'm going to go back to what I need to get in. But here we are recording. And we compromised on the time. But yet, we both still got something out of it that we wanted. We both got the show out of it. So I hear what you're saying to a lesser standard. It's like you still could get what you want. No different than if you and a lady friend, if me and a lady friend. We're both hungry. I had my mind made up on steak. She wanted sushi. My compromise is, you know what? I still want to eat. She wants sushi. I'm still getting my tummy full. You see what I'm saying? It's like you're still getting the end result, just not on your terms and conditions. That's how I also look at it when it comes to relationships.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's where I pause now and think, and I think as part of my therapy between coming and starting this podcast, talking to you, having my therapy kitten, going to the gym, doing my writing, working out, having my meals. You know me, I have to operate in a certain level to keep on going every day, what I do on my 18 hours a day. But I'm finding things differently now, and I don't want to worry about that stuff as much anymore. I don't want that to be a big focus, because if I'm seeing something or someone or things that they bring to the table that brings a new type of happiness to my life, where I'm willing to say, yeah, maybe tonight I'll get less sleep, or maybe tonight I won't go to the gym, or maybe I'll do something out of the ordinary on a Sunday that's not usually part of my routine. And I don't think about
record a podcast.
Like record a podcast. It's like I'm still not missing out on my life. That's what I want. That's what I want to happen. That's what I hope is happening. That's what I for me, if we're talking long term in a T relationship, that's what I want. I don't want to ever feel like, because I can look back on so many women before in the past, Bilo, and it was always like I didn't want to compromise. I was too routine. But let me pivot back to 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was in a serious relationship. This was the first woman that I ever loved more than myself. I'm willing to say that. I was in love before, but this is the one for me that would have been the one. Our breakup is still not clear to me. 5 years ago, not like I think about it anymore, but obviously I talk about it on the podcast. I got to think about it. And when I write, we ended in a very silly fucking way where it just was over something silly. We went to DC and Philadelphia. I've told you the story. I don't think I've talked to you about it on the podcast. And it was something like we never had a fight. And we dated once before. And the whole thing of just how she handled that trip to Philadelphia, that tail end of the trip, of her bag that I told you we could have checked into the hotel because our room wasn't ready, but we could have let them hold it. We could put it in my car. There was all these things. And she carried that bag around all around Philadelphia, went to the art museum. I ran up and down the Rocky Steps like a maniac. I was having a good time. She'd never been to Philadelphia before. She was big into art. I brought her to the art museum. And plus, I like art too. I like art history, and the Rocky statue was there. And then at the end of that whole thing, she gives me the bag and like, I just want you to see how heavy this is. And yeah, it was kind of heavy. But I looked at her like, I gave you so many options to put this bag away. I did not tell you to carry it around all day. And meanwhile, she just got mad about that. I'm like, so this is, you're arguing about this. You're fighting about this. And then we went to get lunch. Bilo, we sat across from each other eating Philly cheesesteaks. We didn't say a word to each other. We walked back to the hotel. Didn't say a word to each other. Finally, we're lying down on the bed. We're still not talking. She's playing on her phone on one side. I'm playing on my phone on the other. It's like, really? This is how we're going to handle our first fight? And we talk. We thought we got over it. We go to dinner that night for the first time ever, Bilo. For the first time ever, the time I knew her, she offered and she took the bill and paid for a meal. She never did that before. So my natural reaction, being the wise ass, also being a little passive aggressive, saying, are you paying because this is the breakup meal? And she's like, no. And of course, the next day I bring her back home. That was the week she stopped talking to me. That was the week my arm was shot to shit. That was the week I was dealing with a new manager. My manager was leaving. That was the week my mother went in for a lung cancer fucking operation. She was nowhere to be found. To me, to see how we both handled that was wrong. But to see how she handled that, I thought, looking back, maybe there's something more to it. Why did we end up? And then finally, a week later, we finally sat down and had our breakup meal. We had a true breakup meal. And that's where she told me that I wasn't the one for her. She didn't see me being the one with her long term. And as that fucking happened, I was basically like, all right, now we're broken up. But the whole fucking point to that was, below, it made me analyze every fucking point in that relationship to what led to that fucking breakup. Did I not compromise enough? Was my saying, here are your five options for that fucking bag, but she didn't take me up on any of the five. That right there to me made me look back like, if I ever go down that road again, fucking Bilo, where I don't know where the breakup's coming or I can't get a fucking reason, then to me, I have no business being in a fucking relationship, because that's the communication part of it. She and I should have been talking the entire fucking time. You don't just stop talking to someone. You get into a fight and maybe you need a little break from them. Bilo, we didn't even fucking fight. We just stopped talking, and that's how that ended. So to me, that's what both compromise and communication. I always think about that now, because 5 years ago, that's how that went down.
Yes, and I think that I'm pausing because I want to make sure this comes out okay. I think that it goes with being comfortable in your own skin and having the confidence, and then just kind of being comfortable with yourself, because you, before you can be comfortable with anybody else, you have to be comfortable with yourself. And then go back to your breakup. I think it's okay for people to understand that just some people are not compatible. I think so many people are worried. I think that this is like a, you know, come, everyone wants a therapy session, contact Mr. T-Blog and he'll get you in contact with me. I think that a lot of people are in relationships for the wrong reason. And I actually had a conversation with somebody about this the other day, and I'll tell you this story. Well, actually, I'll tell you about the story. I don't know if we have time, if you want to talk or not about it, because you're in a rush. You want to go to bed or something. I don't know.
I got to finish my pictures.
Who's more important, me or your pictures? Your pictures will be there forever. I won't. Something could happen to me tomorrow. Then what would you do?
I got to be done. Something happened to me tomorrow. And I'm fucking in my gym clothes still. I got to eat and shower, bro.
Okay. Anyway, I think that a lot of people, if this is repetitive, I might have said this before, but I think a lot of people are in relationships for the wrong reason, because a lot of people are afraid of being alone. The most important thing you can do is be comfortable with being alone. I mean, again, I talked to you about being too single and stuff like that because you're losing touch with how to, like, cohabitate. Yeah, or,
and I got that in my head now all the time. You.
No,
that.
And you should. You should. It's a very important thing to have. But again, you also need to have the self-confidence to be comfortable with yourself to know, you know what? I can be alone. I can cook. I can eat. I can work out. I can do this. I can walk down the street to the store by myself. So many people are worried about being in relationships for a long term because they don't want to be old, or they don't think that somebody else will like them. So they end up staying in abusive relationships. They're staying in relationships where they're not happy and they have resentment. They stay in relationships for the wrong reasons, where sometimes you have to say to a person that you're with, you know, even if you're dating for a short period of time, long period of time, whatever it is, you know what? I don't think we're right for each other. You are a great person. I mean, I've, you know, interacted with people, and I thought they were the greatest people in the world. They just weren't a great person for me, right? It does, just because two people aren't compatible doesn't mean, a lot of people are like, oh, well, they're such an asshole, they're such a this. You know what? They're not an asshole. They're just not right for me. Yeah. They may be right for somebody. As my mother always used to say, for every old sock, there's an old shoe. So you will find, that means, what that basically means is there's a match for everything out there.
It's a match,
right?
To fit.
There's always a fit and a match that's out there. So what you need to do is sometimes come to grips with and say, you know what, it's unhealthy to be here. It's better to talk about it, break things off as adults.
As adults, versus, not just stop talking for fucking 2 weeks.
No, that's immature in my opinion. Exactly. I think that whole people like ghost people. Listen, you ghost somebody if they're an asshole to you, or yes. Like a woman can be an asshole to a man too. I'm not one sided on this. And a lot of people try to go, you know me, I'm like black and white. What's fair is fair, what's right is right, wrong is wrong. And both sides in relationships screw things up. It's not always the man being an asshole. But a lot of times people will like split off and everybody's friends are like, oh, he was such an asshole, or oh, she was such a bitch, or she was such an ass, you know? And it's like, well, maybe they just weren't right for each other. That doesn't mean they're bad people.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the ghosting people, like, you know what? Listen, you
let's
can ghost someone.
Because that's been brought up a couple times in conversations in my personal life this week. What's your take on ghosting? It's a big thing in 2019.
Okay. Ghosting, I would go by with where you are in a relationship. Okay. So let's just say you meet somebody on a dating service, you send a couple messages, you don't get a vibe from the conversation, you stop talking to them, that's okay, right? That's okay to go through because you don't have to. If you have somebody that you start to spend time with, go out to dinner.
Does one day count? If you went on one date with someone, are you entitled to ghost them, or do you need to give them an explanation as to why you stopped talking to them? I think one date is enough to ghost.
I think one date you can ghost, right? And because I think that you go on that one date, if you guys never talk to each other again, if somebody sends you a text message, if they're going to obsess and keep texting you, there's a problem anyway.
Yes.
But I think the one, the first, when I call it a date, I would call it the first meeting, right? The first meeting. Yeah. Once you have that meetup, you can ghost. After, if you go back for additional conversation, you go back for additional meetings and stuff like that, you have to be mature enough to say, hey, this is not going to work out. I think that people have to be adults like that. And I also think that if you are upset with somebody, you owe it to them to tell them, listen, I don't want to talk to you right now. A lot of things are bothering me. I'll let you know I'm ready to speak with you. Okay.
Yes.
When I say ghosting people, that means see you, bye, never talking to you again. Saying that, you know what, I need a couple days to think about something. Okay. And needing that is okay. Because you're not ghosting them. You're saying, hey, listen, it goes with communication. I have a lot on my mind. I don't want to talk to you right now about it because I need to settle things in my head. I will let you know when I'm ready to talk to you. You know what I'm saying? That is a mature thing to do to me. And because then you're not ghosting. Or if you don't ever want to see somebody again, then you say, listen, you know what? Things aren't working out. You know, I had a great time with everything we've done, but I just, you know, not happy hanging out with you anymore. So
regardless of the number of dates, let's put that aside for a second. Say you had one good date and you got physical, making out, touchy-feely, maybe even sex. And then next day you realize that's it. Like, if you got intimate on that one time, are you entitled to ghost if you got physical with them? Because that physical
Never do that because you know how I am anyway. I think anybody that I would get intimate with the second I met them, I probably would never want to talk to them again anyway. I think you ghost them because you think, oh, well, this is just disgusting. I'm going to move on. I think you can ghost somebody if they're going to – it goes with the whole first meetup. If you meet somebody on the first meetup, I don't care whatever happens on that first meetup. You can have – I can eat Cheerios out of their ass. You can ghost them.
Oh, so we're going that far. If I'm about to bust out the spoon and a bowl of fucking Cheerios and pour you over my lap and use your asshole as a bowl of cereal, and if I feel like it the next day, I'm totally entitled to ghosting your cereal smelling ass. That's what you're saying to me, Milo?
Yes, and you can throw the spoon in the bowl away without shame. No, like I said, I think it's that first meeting, because that first meeting, you guys will both get the vibe, right? Listen, and when I say you both get the vibe, it's not like, okay, well, I'm going to get the vibe, I'm into somebody, I'm going to get the vibe when they're into me, and I'm not, you know, it's going to be like, well, you know, somebody can be into somebody, but there's going to be still a vibe there. You know, everybody knows this.
I agree.
Somebody, I can tell if they're not interested. Somebody can be into me, they can tell if I'm not interested. So if you ghost them after that, it's okay. But like I said, the key is pursuing them after that meeting and actually taking effort to go out with them and do more things to them, then you have the right to ghost them.
So how do you feel about that? Because, you know, even as a fucking little boy, you know when that girl that you have a crush on does or does not have a crush on you. As a teenager, you know that. As a grown adult, whether you've been married, long-term relationship, dating, you know when you're vibing with someone. How do you feel in this day and age? Because I've been there, you know, on the dating apps, when you know when there's no vibe, but that person's so off the fucking mark. Like, no, I think we had chemistry, or this was great, that date went really well, I want to see you again. And you're over here thinking like, what the fuck did I miss? Like, no, there was no vibe there. There was no. So when somebody thinks there's more than what there is, do you owe them an explanation? Because it's all one-sided. I know clearly how I felt.
You don't.
I could ghost them.
Listen, you don't owe them an explanation to the point where you have to explain and validate every one of their statements, right? It goes with what I said to you before earlier in this conversation. It goes with the perspective of the person. Understand what they're saying, whatever, but you are perfectly entitled. And again, I'm saying this stuff both sides. I don't care if it's boy, girl, 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 boy, boy, fucking boy animal, girl animal. I say these things universally because I think everybody points a picture towards one gender or one thing or the other, and it shouldn't be.
I agree. Because
you do not owe anybody anything.
Women do this, and that's not always the fucking case.
I don't believe in that, okay? Again, I believe in being respectful to people, okay? Which goes with what I was going to say to this. If they have a vibe for you, you do not owe them an explanation. I think it's respectful enough, and you owe them the respect to say to them, I am not interested in pursuing this any further. It doesn't have to be that phrase, but you can say, hey, you know what? I don't think we should hang out anymore. Or, hey, you know, you can. And sometimes the truth hurts. You just have to tell them. Don't pussyfoot around it and make somebody guess and wonder and answer. Just say, hey, I have no desire to see you anymore. Or you're a good friend. I'd like to talk to you on a friend level. I'm going to see other people. But I think to me, it's different. That's a respect thing. You don't owe them an explanation. I think people owe other people the respect to tell them what's going on. And you don't have to give any details. And it's the same thing like if I tell people you're calling sick for work, just say, hey, you know what? I'm out sick. You don't have an explanation. If you're going to quit a job, say, hey, you know what? I'm moving on. Thank you for everything you guys have given to me. I appreciate the opportunity, blah, blah, blah. You don't have to give an explanation of why I'm leaving. You don't have to give an explanation of what you're doing. It's you've already made the decision. Keep it in your head and move forward. Does that answer your question?
No, you know what? That's a good analogy.
I'm all fired up tonight. This is pretty good.
That's a good analogy with the sick day shit, because a lot of people that pull that shit with the sick day, even grown adults, they have to do the voice, I'm sick. I'll send you a message. I was up all night with my stomach. You already decided whether you're sick or not that you weren't coming in today. Just chalk it as take it on the chin. You're out sick today. Goodbye.
I had people tell me they're out sick, and they tell me, I said, I don't care. I said, you have sick days. Use them for whatever the fuck you want. If your head's fucking sick, you're sick. I don't care. And I tell the same thing. I'm like, I'm not coming in today. I'm going to be out on a sick day. I'm not coming in today. I'm out on a vacation day. Or whatever it may be.
Yep.
I don't owe the explanation. You have to tell them in the respect for, because it's the policy, hey, I'm not coming in today. It's a sick day. Yep. I'm not coming in. You have to do that. Don't get me wrong. It goes with what I'm just telling you. You have to give them, I mean, job, you have to tell them anyway, because, you know, you don't want, you know, them to have, you can't just not show up to a job. But the same thing like a relationship. You just can't not show up to relationship. People get angry when I say relationships are like business transactions. I'm not saying to the point where the business transactions where there's no personal feelings in there. But if you listen to a lot of the analogies, you can put into a business relationships that people have. It's the same type of thing. You want to give people respect in business, right? You want to do this other. Do that same thing in a relationship. Yes, you have intimacy. Yes, you kiss and hug. You don't do it at work. I'm not saying it's a deb, but I'm just trying to say the concepts. And that's what I'm saying.
But the more you put into a business relationship, the more you're going to get out of it. You know what I mean? The more vested you're in it, the more you're going to get something out of it.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
It's not that fucking hot. Whether it's monetized or whatever, it's the same thing with a person. I'm going to get more out of you, more feelings, more love. Same shit. Like, you've got to put effort into it.
Yeah, people see, and this is what people lose out of this. You are in my life because you are enriching me in some manner.
Yes.
Right? You are filling a void in my life.
There
you are filling a void in my life. So you're in my life. And it's the same thing when people talk about like work and stuff like this. I say, listen, you know, some people get all hung up on work and stuff like this. They're worried about quitting and stuff like this. I said, listen, businesses, it's nature. People come and go, right? They know you're using them for money. They're using you for labor, right? So if you're getting paid, that's what that relationship is. You're both getting something out of it. You both know what it is. And when it's time to go, either one of you will replace either one of you in a second. Some people feel guilty and feel bad about this stuff. And this is what I say to a lot of people about work. It's like, you know, I work a zillion hours, right? But also you have to know when to balance it off, because I talk to a lot of people I work with that work a bunch of hours and they have like little kids and small kids. And they like, they miss the kid's game and stuff like that. And you have to put things in perspective with what you're doing. You want to work every night, all week and all this other stuff. I'm going to say, you know what? When times get tough next month and they have to do layoffs, they're not going to go, oh, by the way, T worked extra this past weekend to get this thing done. They're going to go, T costs us $150 million a year. We have to cut him. But you want to know something? If you have a kid, that kid hits his home run that Saturday, that for his first home run, that first ball game, he's going to go, you know what? My dad, T, wasn't there. He was working.
Yeah.
He'll remember that the rest of his fucking life. Work, you work all weekend, get something done. Next month they need to fire you. They're not going to remember a damn thing you've done. They're going to fire you because they have to. And I'm not saying they can feel bad about it. They can feel guilty about it. I'm not saying that they do it like without remorse, but it's a business thing that needs to be done because they have to let people go. Unfortunately, I don't wish that on anybody. I would never want to be in that position. I want anybody in that position. I'm just trying to give you my analogy.
No, but same on the employee side. You're right. Like if this working relationship, this company I'm working for isn't working out anymore, if I'm not getting anything out of this career, if I feel like I peaked or I feel like I don't like my manager anymore, I don't like the position I'm in, I go elsewhere. It's time for a new relationship. And that's where you go apply and take another job. It works both ways. Like a company, you're an employee at will. If the company doesn't need you anymore, you're gone. Same with a relationship. But you're right. What you said a little while ago is you're in my life, whether you're a friend, somebody I'm dating, somebody in a relationship with, because you enrich me. You make my life better. There's a reason why I put the time and energy into this relationship, because I'm getting something out of it, and hopefully you're getting something out of it. You know, you can't be just one-sided. That's how relationships fucking work. That's how businesses work. Are we getting something out of this? And that's where I look at everything too, the same type of fucking way. So I'm not one of those people that would be opposed to your analogy of this being a fucking business transaction.
It sounds insensitive.
It sounds callous, but it's not. Because here, you know, we talk about everything. We try to make things relatable to everyone. But you're right. The other thing you did talk about too is I'm not a parent yet, but I know a lot of fucking friends. You're right. Like working hard, they miss key moments. So here's a good example, right? I went out my brother-in-law, he's a great dad. He's been in my life since I was a little kid. He and my sister have been going to kindergarten together. They've been together since they were 15 years old. They've been married since they were 24. Safe to say, my sister's like the complete opposite of me when it comes to relationships and marriage. So I grew up with my brother-in-law. He was always my big brother. He was always someone there. And he does all that. So he has a really busy job. His job takes him. Sometimes he has to travel a lot. So last week, it was my niece, my middle niece, she graduated high school. And my brother-in-law, he was gone for work. He left, checked out of the hotel, came back for the graduation, and then later on that night flew back to where he had to go to because he had a meeting the following morning, all because he was not going to miss his daughter's graduation.
Exactly. And that's commendable, and that's great. But I was going to just say, you're not going to be able to make every baseball game. Don't get me wrong, right? Okay, I mean, again, sometimes you do have to work, right? And there are things that occur, like, you know, totally. You know, I feel that at least if one parent is there, it's okay. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like you don't miss every event, but you can't make every event. But I feel as long as a kid knows that one of his parents are there and his dad goes to, you know, a lot of his games, we use sports. It can be any event. I don't care what it is. Right. I'm not trying to, you know, harp on sports. It can be theater. It can be whatever. I don't care. You know, as long as they get that support from their family, mother, father, whether they're together or separate, I don't even care. It doesn't take, you don't have to be together to be good parents. Sometimes you're better parents separated, in my opinion. And some people forget to realize that. I'm compassionate with kids these days. I think kids can be happier with two parents apart more than two parents together to bitching and fighting and angry.
Good point, because they're not around the fighting anymore. They separate. You're right.
And that's what I'm saying. I think it could be because you don't need to be parents together, living together to raise a kid happy. You need to be parents together, raising the child together, even though you're separate, and even if you hate each other. Kids did not bring themselves into this world. I tell everybody, a child, it's not their fault they're there. They did not say, hey, I'm coming out. You know, watch out. It took two people to do it, which I have a thought on that I read something the other day, and I wanted to get your take on it.
Well, you gather your thought, you know, you raise a good point, because for me, you know, my parents never got divorced. Maybe they should have been. But when my father was in the can, then he came out. My father never went to a single one of my baseball games. And my mother, who worked three fucking jobs, and this is the times I really miss her. No matter what, B-Lo, my mother never missed one of my baseball games. She showed up to every one of my fucking baseball games. It didn't matter if I got hurt in that game. Didn't matter if we lost in that game. Didn't matter how well I did, if I got a fucking hit, if I got a triple, if I got a home run. My mother remembered every fucking one of my games. And that is really important, because as a grown man now at almost 42, I look back and I see and I can appreciate, you know, your statement of saying that you want, as much as you want both your parents there, it would be really good. Sometimes you do want, like, it's baseball, man. It would have been great to have my fucking dad there. He just didn't want to come. You know, it's something we deal with now. But, I mean, I think about that. But you're right. Like, for my brother-in-law, he doesn't miss the kids' games, their dance recitals, all that shit. I go to all that stuff as an uncle. Like, I make sure I don't miss the milestone birthdays or I'm there for all the holidays. It's something, again, below their family, but they enrich my life. So I want to be there for them, just like any other relationship. I got shit ton of cousins. I'm fucking Italian. Some of them I wouldn't fucking piss on them if they were on fire because they're pieces
of
shit.
Well, it takes more than blood to make family, in my opinion. I think you can have somebody that you call family that's not blood. Blood,
I agree.
Blood means your family genetically. Blood does not mean your family as a unit to me. I just say that to everybody. It doesn't. Blood does not make you family.
No, period. I totally agree. Yeah. And I got friends that I don't just say bro, brother, because they're my brothers to me. Like, when I say that, it's somebody I would do anything for. I go to bat for. I'd hide a dead body for. You know what I mean? Like, that to me is something more important. Again, like you were saying, because we choose to keep each other in each other's lives. So it's getting close, but you have one last thought. Let's get that out there and wrap this up.
Well, no. You know, they were talking about – we haven't talked about this, and I'm not going to debate what's right or wrong here because I'm going to throw out this and watch that the world will shift in the winds. So – recently, a few states have passed or talked about passing the abortion law where it's illegal and you can be locked up if you have an abortion, right? Like if a girl goes in and has an abortion, and I have to say woman there because women have babies. I don't care who the fuck you are, what you think you are. You have women parts, you have babies. You don't have women parts, you don't have babies. So I read an interesting article the other day and it had a perspective on it of, they're talking about punitive damages to the women who have abortions, correct? There's some, you know, and I think a lot of people may or may not have heard about this. Someone wrote a post about this or a news article about this. Like, I think it was an opinion. It was an opinion article, obviously. Why are they not punishing the men? Because they participated in the impregnation of the woman. This goes back to the whole thing of why is it, you know, why would the woman get in trouble for having an abortion when the man also participated in her being pregnant, which also goes back to the question of if a man got a woman pregnant, why did he have say or no say in her giving birth to the baby? I'm not going to talk about this deadbeat dads. I'm going to say, let's go in a perfect world where, you know what, you know, you have intercourse with a woman, she becomes pregnant. You are a good person. You want to take that baby, raise that baby. I'm not talking about all the extremes where, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody rapes somebody and gets her pregnant, it's like, oh, I want to have the baby. I'm not talking about those types of bad situations. I'm talking about, I don't even want to get into those topics.
Yeah, no, two consensual adults.
Two consensual adults having sex.
Yep.
You get pregnant because you and I have sex. You say, I want an abortion. I'm like, you know, I have the means to support a child. I'm healthy and happy enough, and I will provide it with a loving home. Again, this is my premise, right?
But you don't have a say.
Why does the man not have any say in it, number one? And number two, if a woman decides to have an abortion because the guy she's with, again, happy relationship with that, and they both say, hey, listen, I think we should abort this baby. They're accepting of that. I'll keep qualifying that. I'm not arguing the right for abortion or if it's right or wrong. I'm saying, you know, people can do it. It's the law now. So they both go, you know, she has an abortion. It's found out, you know, it's illegal. And now she gets, you know, locked up or fined or whatever for it. And the guy walks away scot-free. What is your take on both of that?
You know, one, it's a good topic because I'm curious to see if there's any recorded cases of where a man wanted the child. Again, we're taking those extreme cases out. Two consenting adults had sex. And if a man was ever physically, mentally, financially fit and wanted to raise the child, I wonder if a man has ever taken a woman to court over that, saying, you know, I want to have the child. She doesn't. Again, the timetable, you probably can't because they could abort the baby, the fetus, the whatever it is at that time, pretty early on. So I wonder if anybody's ever gone to court over that, if it was hesitant all the way to get to a certain trimester. So that's something that I'm curious to see if that's out there. But what that's going to come down to, even if you do have the means, perfect example. I'm single. I do well for myself. If I get a woman pregnant, I'm at the point where now, I told you this, I want to be a dad. I'll love the kid. I'll find a way to make it work. That's what I would do. But if she's telling me, no, I don't want to have a kid, or I don't want to have a kid with you, what legalities, what options do I have? So I have to go with her point of like, she has to get the abortion. Do I have to pay for something? I'm not saying about being for or against abortion like you were just saying. I want to have that child. I don't have a say. her body, her rules. Am I forced to pay for an abortion I don't want to have? Or does she just go ahead and have the abortion without my saying it? So that raises a good point. Like, I think I should have options to say, like, look, how about this? She has to carry the baby. Maybe a court sides with me, and I'll take the child and raise it as a single dad. Like, you're right. Single dads, guys don't get those options. You don't hear about that. But now where the other side of that, where there's all these fucking laws being overturned now, where a woman can't, certain states now, get abortion depending on the parameters. And should the guy be held responsible because the woman is being penalized for getting pregnant? I got to say, it works the other way. The same way I should have legal options to keep the kid, I think I have to kind of be responsible with her because I got her pregnant by law. Like, what, if she's getting in trouble, I got to get in trouble too. It's my fucking child in there. So, you know, me, I don't like the police. I don't want to get in trouble. But I mean, if I did something and I'm in that state, I don't want her going down, even if she was a one-night stand who I never knew before. But if somebody, I got pregnant and she wants to get an abortion in that state, you can't get an abortion, I'm going to find a way to make it work with her because that's how that goes. But that's interesting because I don't know how that works, because I don't know what – we don't have many options as men. So we have to go with what she wants. If it's a state that allows abortion with no repercussions, then we go get the abortion together. If there's a state where you can't, I'm going to have to ride with her. And if she's going down, I'm going down because you know what? I got her fucking pregnant. My penis was in there. It had something to do with it. I'm in trouble too. That's my take.
Interesting. I appreciate your take. So I wanted to ask you about that. I do have a few other topics, but if you want to, you know, terminate this podcast for the evening.
Well, it's not me. I hear Hans. Hans is telling us to wrap it up. He's queuing up right now.
I hear Hans. Hans always gets... comes at the most inopportune time, like you.
He sure does. As she said. All right, Bilo. As Hans gets louder, it was a good podcast. We got together real quick. We'll do this again real soon. I'll talk to you soon.
Peace out.